Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we will continue our subject, Living the Supernatural Life. And our theme verse is recorded by the Apostle Paul in the 2 Corinthians Epistle, chapter 4, verse 18, where we read, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, related to time, but the things which are not seen are eternal." This paradox is an arresting literary device to make us think what is real about us. The body? Well, the body is real as long as we've got it, but it's temporal. And he says, "While we look not at the things which are seen." Now, if you can see something, it's temporal. But the real things, the real you and the real me, is not our body. Our body is a part of us. It's an accessory. The real part of us are the souls and the spirits that God has given to us. And living the supernatural life could be called living the spiritual life. This is the part about us that is real, and we've been seeking to develop in this series of studies on living the supernatural life, that we might adjust our values and go in for that which is real and lasting. Too many people are occupied totally with this earth. You could call them earthly people. And they're not thinking about eternity. They're not thinking about God, whom we serve, who has given us a soul and a spirit. A soul can appreciate God as well as the spirit. The soul gives us world consciousness, but it also gives us God consciousness. We enjoy the Lord. But the Spirit entirely gives us God consciousness. Now, today on the broadcast, we wish to take up the subject, God's providential care. God's providential supply and care, perhaps I'd better say. Now, this will lead us to the realization that we are living a supernatural life. We wish to divide the message today into three headings: our steps, our stops, our supply. Now, if you like alliteration, you have it here. Steps, stops, supply. And we're going to give three instances in the scriptures where God directs our steps quite apart from our plans and our prayers. God's provision for us is quite apart from our prayers and plans, just arising out of his providence and out of his love. All right, let's go quickly into our steps. David's advice is prompted by the Holy Spirit, and he gives it that in his psalm, Psalm 37, 23, of which David is the author. Here it is. "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." Isn't that wonderful? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Who is this good person? Well, he's a child of God. He's just not morally good. He's more than that. He is a child of God, and we know that that is our experience by being born into the family of God. Now, I believe the Old Testament saint was born into the family of God as the New Testament saint, but he didn't realize what happened. When he believed that God would redeem him, and they looked forward to the cross, and they saw the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ could say, "Abraham rejoiced to see my day," and saw it. But they believed and they were saved by faith, the same as we are. All right, God orders our steps. All right, let's listen to Isaiah's advice to the nation of Israel. This is collective, but is prompted by the Holy Spirit. Listen to it, please. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. "And thine ears shall thou hear the voice behind thee saying," with thine ears, "thou shalt hear the voice behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand or to the left." There is that voice of the Lord, that is that leading, that guidance of the Lord. "And thine ears shall hear a voice behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it." All right, now Solomon gives advice to the individual, is prompted by the Holy Spirit. in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 9. We read there, "A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps." Isn't that marvelous? The Lord, a man's heart, deviseth his way. He makes his plans. But the Lord directeth his steps. Thank God for Proverbs 16 and 9. God overrules us. He, out of his providence, gives us guidance. He guides our steps. Now let's talk some about our stops. God orders our steps. Does he order our stops? It's most interesting that he does. He stops us at convenient places and times. And here again, we're going to give three scriptural accounts of that fact. In Genesis chapter 20, beginning at verse 1, we read these words concerning Abraham. "And Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country, that is, and dwell between Kadesh and Shur, and sojourn in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. And God came to Abimelech in a dream by night, and said to him, Behold, thou art but a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, she is a man's wife. Now Abraham said," just as she was his sister, that was only a half-truth. Abraham and Sarah both had a common father, but they had different mothers. In this day and age, that would be called incest. But remember, please, that sin had not wrought its havoc in the human family back in those early days, as it has in this days, of AIDS and other things that affect the human physique. Now, he only told a half-truth. He told a full lie and only a half-truth. Let's put it that way. And Abimelech took her. After all, he was the king. And he took her into his courts. But let's read on. "After the Lord had appeared to him by night and told him, You're a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, she's a man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near her." I wonder why. We'll see. "And he said, Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, She's my sister? And she even herself said, He's my brother. And he was." And here then he goes on to say, "In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this." Abimelech is talking to the Lord. "I didn't know this." Now listen to verse 6. "God said unto him in a dream, Yea, I know that thou didst not this in the integrity of thine heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I not thee not to touch her." Here was Abimelech's stop. God stopped him. Now, is this a practical use to you and to me? I think it is. I think God stops us on occasion. Let's go on. God's efforts with Balaam, recorded in Numbers chapter 22. The king of Moab sent to Balaam, and Balak was the king of Moab, and he sent to Balaam, don't confuse the names. He said, "There's a people come out of Egypt, and they're going to the land, and they were promised land. They're stronger than I am. I'm afraid of them. Come and curse them so I can get rid of them." And Balaam said, I'll come. And he promised him, he promised him riches. Balaam went. But you know, God didn't give him the permission to go. He went. And God stopped him. Stopped him by the use of his own animal, his ass that he rode on. As Balaam rode to see Balak, the king, and make the deal, the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in front of him and crushed his foot against the wall. And then the first thing she did, she went out of the way, and Balaam beat her. And then she crushed his foot against the wall when he went a little farther. And he beat her again. And she just laid down underneath him, and he beat her again. And the God gave that ass a voice. And she says, "Why are you beating me? Did I ever do this before?" Balaam says, "No." Balaam lifted his eyes and he saw the angel of the Lord and he was frightened nearly to death. God put his stops on that man. Has he put his stops on you and me? I believe he does on occasion. Now in the 16th chapter of the Gospel, or rather the book of Acts, Acts chapter 16, we have God putting his stops on none other than the Apostle Paul. Listen to this. In the 6th verse there, we read Paul and Timothy were in a missionary journey. We read in verse 6 now, when they had gone through the Phrygia and the regions of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man, Macedonia, and prayed him, saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." Now you remember, two occasions, the Spirit wouldn't let them go. They were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. And the Spirit suffered them not to go into Bithynia. But there was a dream. And this man of Macedonia in the dream says, "Come over and help us." After he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them. Now, why was this stop? This was Europe. Had Paul spent all his time in Asia, where would the European nations have heard of the gospel? Would it have spread to Rome? We don't know. But the Spirit of God arranged the matter. Now, let's talk a little bit about our supply. From the 6th chapter of Matthew, we read in that wonderful chapter about God's provision for you and me, that most beautiful portion of Scripture, verse 25 and chapter 6, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment?" You've got other things to think about. Now he says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take no thought for the morrow." That's temporal. "For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." God supplies us. And those providential supplies we could talk on for hours upon the providential supplies of God. But they convince us that we have a soul and we have a spirit, and we're in contact with the living God. Father, by the Holy Spirit, make these things real to our souls, we pray, in Christ's name, giving thanks. Amen.